It's November 2021, and Chido Kilpatra Mpemba, a young development professional from Zimbabwe, has just received a very special email.
So I literally remember, at the time when the email came, and I was in the middle. I remember I was actually literally in the middle of somewhere. And I sat down, and I think I sat down for a good 1 hour just trying to absorb, because it's something that just happened so fast.
She had just been appointed the African Union's Youth Envoy by the chairperson of the African Union Commission.
I couldn't believe it, I'll be honest. I could not even believe it. I honestly think it took me about a month for it to really sink in. And I think it's something that happened so fast.
Chido was astonished at the amount of support and attention her new role had brought her.
And by the time that announcement went out, I remember I was actually traveling. And by the time I landed back in my country, I couldn't even believe it. I remember literally getting to the airport and they're all there, you know, just to congratulate me, to welcome me. I remember suddenly there's media and you literally just have, your life change overnight.
Now, what made Chido's overnight transformation so extraordinary was the fact that shortly before her appointment as Africa's leading youth champion, she had been working in a bank, but chose to leave the bank to pursue her passion for development.
So I made the choice to actually leave the bank, and that was in December 2019. And I just decided that, you know what, it's time to move away from banking, move forward and make a career change based on what I love and what I'm passionate about.
So how does a corporate banker go from a 9-to-5 job to becoming a dedicated champion for sustainable development and for the youths of Africa, culminating in her appointment as Africa's official voice for the youths? Well, let's find out. Welcome to the Climb Podcast, where we tell extraordinary stories of the African youth.
So my name is Chido Kilpatra Mpemba. I am originally from Zimbabwe, grew up in Zimbabwe, went to school in South Africa, came back to Zimbabwe, worked in a bank for 6 years before I left, and now I'm working in public policy.
Chido Kilpatra Mpemba is a sustainable development professional from Zimbabwe. And since 2021, she has been serving as the African Union's Youth Envoy. In her role, Chido travels across Africa and the world, championing Africa's youths and advocating for sustainable development. Now, as extraordinary as all of this sounds, it's interesting that Chido never had a background in development. Rather, it was her passion and dedication for development that brought her where she is today. To understand this, let's get to know Chido a little better.
Okay, I think I was very fortunate to be able to be educated, which is, you know, something that we see as a challenge in Africa at the moment, even within, young people and education literacy and being able to be afforded that opportunity. So it's something I do not take for granted that, you know, I managed to get through high school and from there went to university in Cape Town at the University of Cape Town, where I studied organizational psychology, human resources, and labor law. But interesting enough, I did not exactly go in that route to what I studied. My first job was in a bank. I worked for an international bank, Standard Chartered Bank, and this was in the role of a graduate associate. And that gave me an opportunity to really, you know, be able to understand how the bank works and, you know, be attached to different departments. And that's the end of it. I ended up in credit risk. Interesting enough, I was, within risk. And then I decided to study further for a master's in business administration and MBA.
But while Chido was building her banking career, she also had an interest an interest she could not ignore.
Whilst I was there, I really had an interest, though, when it comes to sustainable development. And I used to do a lot of research on that. And as a result, I started focusing a lot on, you know, climate risk, climate finance, and just being curious to learn. And because of that curiosity to learn, I did a lot of extracurricular activities, both within the bank and outside my role in the bank. So I came across this opportunity to be a global shaper, which is an initiative under the World Economic Forum. And also this was through a network of friends that, you know, I had met a church in Zimbabwe. And given this opportunity, it opened me up to a lot of exposure and just to really understand, you know, the world of development and how we can all contribute and impact to society. So with that, you know, within that role in Global Shapers, ended up being a curator of Global Shapers. I did a lot of community work that was focused on, you know, raising awareness on climate change, work on digital innovation, on public health, to name a few. And with that as well, I had an opportunity to come across, the Mandela Washington Fellowship that is offered as well by the U.S. State government. And I decided to go for it. And within going for this Mandela Washington Fellowship, again, it opened me up a lot to learn more, to network, and to understand how we can all make a contribution towards sustainable development beyond, you know, what we might be doing within our respective careers. So, for example, in this case, I was working in the bank. I was focused on credit risk. But here I am on the side doing a lot of community work, learning a lot about, you know, climate change, you know, learning a lot about, you know, how we can really just contribute towards building a better sustainable Africa.
So to further pursue her passion for sustainable development, Chido took the extraordinary step of ending her banking career.
So I made the choice to actually leave the bank, and that was in December 2019. And I just decided that, you know what, it's time to move away from banking, move forward and make a career change based on what I love and what I'm passionate about. And of course, you can just imagine that comes with a lot of anxiety, that comes with a lot of pressure, because I really didn't have a plan, if I were to be honest. I really actually didn't even have a plan. I just decided that, you know, at this time that they were giving a voluntary retrenchment package, I'm going to take the retrenchment package and figure it out. But I also thought it's an opportunity for me to use the time that I was out of work just to realign myself, reflect, and also do more research in terms of where I want to go and totally work within my purpose. And guess what? That's when COVID-19 happened.
Well, despite the global pandemic that sent the world into a debilitating lockdown, Chido was not deterred. She continued to pursue her passion.
So, you know, during that time, there we were within COVID-19, but I made sure that I also continued to do the stuff that I like to do in terms of just making a contribution to society and seeing how we can resolve challenges that we're faced with. So as a result of that, you know, started a campaign during COVID-19, where I worked with our Minister of Youth, Sports, Arts, Kirsty Coventry, within Zimbabwe, in starting a campaign that spoke on, you know, how we can support young artists and athletes that have been affected by COVID-19, including, you know, working with the private sector, stay-at-home concerts, and finding ways that they can continue to be supported as they were affected the most because of COVID-19. And, you know, did a lot of, you know, continued with my community work in as much as I could virtually, supported in different ways that I could on different initiatives. And then from there, when I felt that I was ready to actually get back full-time into the working world, I then started applying for opportunities and more intentionally so. And as a result, I came through this opportunity for the role of the Special Envoy on Youth at the African Union.
The role of Youth Envoy at the African Union was an incredible opportunity to make impact on a truly global scale. but it was also a long shot for someone who just transitioned into development. But Chido was not deterred. She applied.
What happened is, I remember I was actually sitting at home and searching for jobs, and it came up on, one advert that I saw that was directing me to the African Union website. And then I decided to apply, you know, and after applying, then I was fortunate, of course, to make it into the entire process, which also included coming up with the manifesto in terms of, if you were to get into office, how would you like to serve and what would you focus on? And from there, you know, with the whole process where, it has to go through a selection process, people had to vote, then ultimately, then I was appointed by the chairperson into the role, which I've been in for about 1.5 years now.
So in less than 2 years of transitioning into sustainable development and advocacy, Chido was now Africa's official voice for the youth. I asked her how that moment felt.
Oh, wow. I couldn't believe it, I'll be honest. I could not even believe it. I honestly think it took me about a month for it to really sink in. And I think it's something that happened so, so fast. I know when, you know, of course, going through the whole process and where they advertised, it indicated that the announcement would go out on the 1st of November. And I remember, at the time, I think it was just a few days before the 1st of November. And I just thought to myself, I can't wait to hear who the new youth envoy is. I'm sure, very soon they'll be making this announcement. Little did I know. So I literally remember, at the time when the email came and I was in the middle. I remember I was actually literally in the middle of somewhere. And I sat down, and I think I sat down for a good 1 hour just trying to absorb, because it's something that just happened so fast, just getting to be informed about the appointment and the next steps. And by the time it officially went out, through the media, just 4 days, we had been given a heads up to say, hey, before this goes out, we just want you to know that, you've been selected, and we're going to announce of this selection, in just a few days. And by the time that announcement went out, I remember I was actually traveling. And by the time I landed back in my country, I couldn't even believe it. But I was also very appreciative of the support that I got from fellow youth leaders in Zimbabwe, from my friends. I remember literally getting to the airport and they're all there, just to congratulate me, to welcome me. I remember suddenly there's media and you literally just have, your life change overnight. So it was a bit overwhelming, but I was excited, but also a bit anxious, because I also understood the huge responsibility that comes with such a role. Imagine having to represent the entire continent of young people. There are huge expectations on that. And for me, my first thought is, I cannot afford to let these young people down. And that's always been my mantra in everything that I do, to say, if I'm going to do anything, if I'm going to make a decision, even within, my office, I have to make sure that the first thing in my mind and in the forefront is this truly representing the youth of Africa?
And over a year into her tenure, representing the youths of Africa is exactly what Chido has done. She tells me that upon her resumption of office, she embarked on a listening tour to major African cities to hear from the youths.
And when I got into this tour, I decided to go on a listening tour across Africa. I started off with Ghana and did one in Nigeria, Abuja, and I took a three-way model. The first one being hosting youth town halls, where we just sit down with young people, get to hear their inspiring stories, get to talk collectively on the challenges that we're faced with. And then the second part was on community engagements, and this gave me an opportunity just to visit marginalized communities, rural communities, and not necessarily everyone who has access to information technology and would know, in terms of what's happening on the forefront of Africa's development, be it on Agenda 2063 or the Sustainable Development Goals. And for me, just, being able to sit down with young people, get to hear all their different stories, how they've been resilient if I must say, especially with the issues we're faced with the COVID, and you know how we already have a high unemployment rate, you know, in Africa, to name a few of a lot of challenges that we have. So I've just come across, you know, stories of young people, and some that have to, you know, have had to make it against all odds. Some that are literally still, you know, just trying to fight on different ways on the issues that they're faced with within their context of Africa and the context of their countries, stuff to do with democratic governance, stuff to do with conflict, you know, stuff to do with generally socioeconomic empowerment of young people. And it's just really been an amazing journey of, you know, getting to learn, getting to understand, but at the same time, also a bit saddening at times when we see that there's still so much more that we can do for young people in Africa. And there's still so much progress that we can make. And at times I just wish that I could do so much very fast and, you know, solve every problem that we have in Africa. But of course, we know that it takes a collective effort and, you know, it takes a lot as well to be able to resolve everything.
But beyond engaging the youths of the continent, Chido is also passionate about engaging African youths in the diaspora on how they can contribute their skills and expertise to the future of the continent.
African Union now recognizes that diaspora as the sixth region, which is why even within my role, I've been quite intentional to make sure that I also engage with youth in the diaspora, you know, through various engagements. I literally just got back today. You know, we had a few engagements in Europe with the diaspora and African youth. I've done a few in the US. I've done a few even through the London School of Economics. And for me, I think, first of all, it starts off with us engaging them on issues that are happening back home, so that when we talk about the solutions, they also become part and parcel of the solutions. But it starts off with firstly engaging on those issues. One thing that has really stood out for me in my role is a lot of young people have indicated that they don't necessarily know a lot about Agenda 2063. And yet this is the blueprint that we have and the aspirations for Africa. And with that, it also gave me that challenge to say, I need to share more about Agenda 2063. I need to engage more so that they know that they are part of it. I mean, if you look at Agenda 2063 and specifically Aspiration 6, it talks about an Africa whose development shall rely on the potential of its people, especially its youth and its women. And it shows that young people are part and parcel of Agenda 2063. But of course, it takes us having to include them within Agenda 2063 and also providing them with the relevant platforms, resources, and capacity to be able to contribute. Again, I also think that everything goes down to policy. How can we make sure that we have policies that are friendly towards young people, policies that will also better socioeconomic empowerment and development for young people is very, very pivotal and important as well. And not only that, how can we make sure that these young people also become part of, you know, the decision makers within the context of Africa and their countries? Because even if you look at political participation at young people, of young people, it's very low. I think, you know, below 30% at the moment. And how can we ensure that we start capacitating young people? We start also having policies that allow young people to be able to participate freely and contribute meaningfully. Because at the end of the day, we make up the largest demographic, but we can't now say that we are the future generation. We're the now generation. If we look at the definition of youth, specifically for Africa, which is, you know, takes from the African Union Youth Charter. It says between the ages of 85 and 35. And you can't say that someone who's, you know, within that age range, even 34 or 35 is the future generation. We're the now. But yet, if we look at, our participation in decision making or even being part of the decision makers, it's still very low. So again, I think it will really take us being very intentional. And when I say us, I'm also looking at the policymakers. I'm looking at the member states. How can we ensure that young people are meaningfully and intentionally included? How can we make sure that this also forms part and parcel of the policies that we create? How can we make sure that even when we have young people that have left Africa, we're still able to engage them so that they know that in as much as they are not in Africa, they are also still a part of us and we can still work together towards making a contribution in Africa's development?
Speaking with Chido had been an inspiring experience. From a 9-to-5 job as a banker to now becoming Africa's leading youth champion. And from all she has said in this interview, you can see she has her work cut out for her in her exciting new role. So as we came to the end of our interview, I asked Chido what she would say to any young person who listens to this podcast, hears her incredible story, and also decides to become a global change maker.
The advice I would give them is start where you are and do not ever, ever underestimate the impact that you make. It could even be to one person, but you're also contributing towards making a change in society. And this is something that I always tell people, even when I share my own story. I mean, I was just a young girl in Zimbabwe, in Harare. I come from Bulawayo. And, you know, just going, for instance, to a school, providing financial literacy classes to young people, going to various communities, going to orphanages, planting fruit trees as a way to combat climate change, but also food security. And even with that, never, ever underestimate even the one good thing that you do in your community. Make sure that you continue where you are. And also, as you do so, you will continuously progress until you get to a certain stage and level where this becomes impact at the continental level and impact at global level. Because if we do things with passion, with dedication, with commitment, intentionally and meaningfully and really coming from the heart, trust me, it will also take you far. But make sure that the intentions in the first point and in the first part are to make a difference within your community, and not underestimating, even if it's to one or two people, you know, based on the capacity that you have. And you'd be so surprised by, you know, making that impact to one and two people, how that will grow to make an impact to a nation, from a nation to, you know, the continent, from the continent to globally. And ultimately, collectively, even, you know, with all these, from the Global Shapers Mandela Ocean Fellowship, from being able to work with the minister, ultimately, including all the voluntary work I'd done in communities, starting with one person, ultimately, that also led to my story and the profile, and also what then led me to my next role at continental level, which I'm in at the moment. You know, I often hear people as well, they'll ask and say, okay, who did you know to get in this role? What did you have to do to get in this role? But, you know, what I can say is just do what you do with all your heart and don't ever underestimate where you're doing it. It could be even be you're in, you know, in a small village somewhere doing your work, you know. And that does not mean that you do not deserve the same opportunity at continental and global level. It doesn't, you know, and it's just by that dedication and, you know, continuing with that great work that will lead also to greater heights.
This episode of the Climb Podcast was hosted and edited by Jewel Atadobright. Special thanks to Chido Cleopatra Mpemba for allowing us to tell her story. The Climb Podcast is a podcast collaboration between the Channels Media Group and the Firoz Lalji Institute for Africa at the London School of Economics and Political Science. Thank you for listening.